Our third and last hearing on the smoking in public places bill. I was searching a little bit for the last 3-4 days on some kind of language that might get us to some kind of middle ground tonight. And what part of my thinking was to give the business community kind of an exit strategy, so and also to make the bill uniform statewide. I don't think you need this hodgepodge preemptive stuff from the cities and counties and what have you. I think it's got to be a level playing field, and it's got to get done. What I was thinking of doing, maybe giving the bar owners and the bingo parlors like a year and a half, gate out there somewhere where they know what's coming and it's going to be coming. They can notify their customers. We had a bar in South St. Paul that did this. They went smoke-free, but they advertised it for over a year on their business employment or their spot of business, and seemed to work out pretty good. But it's certainly not a full loaf of bread for either side here. Sometimes that's what this business here is all about, is it? But the one thing you'd be certain that the amendment I have would it'd be a drop-dead date, 2000, whatever. I'll pass it out in a minute, but I think it's March or January 2nd of 2009, so they could have that smoke January 1st at night and have it effective. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And why don't we pass the A33 amendment out? That's kind of basically what it does. I think it's a 50-50 percentage thing, and that could be argued too. But I've been the kind of senator over the years that tries to put things together and compromise, and you know, it's not 100% happiness on either side, but it does give, we are the business community or committee here, and that's our, I think one of our primary responsibilities is in this committee for the, not trying to hurt our businesses either, but at the same token recognize the health implications and the problems out there associated with, obviously, with smoking. But take a look at it. Mr. Fuller, is there anything else that I might have missed? I think if this one were to pass, maybe that would, we've got about 8 or 10 amendments at the desk, and you know, mine would probably be the best one, of course, you know, but I don't know that. But I just want to visit with the committee a little bit about it. It is some kind of a middle ground thing. Senator Sharon, it is obviously a drop-dead date where it's over, and that's the good news. The bad news is I think you might like it 60 or 70%. I have it today at 50-50, and it's going to be a law for the state, not individual jurisdictions, so I think that's only fair too. But Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chairman, members, I believe you described it precisely. If the members would look at the A33, just maybe a second look would be helpful. This is on page 1, line 3, bars and bingo halls. Now, this is an exemption from the language that's in the bill. And then a bar is defined as an establishment that has a liquor license. But the key is in Clause 2, which is on line 11, that 50% or more of their sales are projected to be from their liquor business. And it's the sales are those that are reported to the Department of Revenue. And a bingo hall is an entity that's used principally for bingo and owned or leased by a licensed gambling organization. And then you'll see on 1.18, this exemption expires on January 2nd, 2009, meaning that they will otherwise be included in the language of those sections. And then Subdivision 4 on line 120 replaces what's in the bill now that authorizes a statutory home rule charter city or a statutory city or county to enact more stringent and enforce more stringent local rules with respect to secondhand smoke. This turns that the other way and says they may not, to address what the chairman said was the piecemeal approach.
Yeah, it's not meant to be all, you know, usually sometimes when we leave these meetings and you're half happy and half ticked off. Maybe it's all right. I don't know. That's kind of my thinking. But I just throw this out for discussion. I know Senator Thomasoni and some others are 7 or 8 amendments up here, and I just thought if this is some kind of a compromise that lets the bar owners and people get acclimated to it and know it is for real, it's going to happen, there will be no smoking after January 2nd of 2009. So with that, I'll open it up for discussion. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Chair Metzen. I do think that that there is some desire on everyone's part to do what is in the best interest of the public health, but to also do it in a way that we recognize that transition may need to occur here. So I understand the concept that you're presenting to this committee. My response to this is that I think that to target a delayed implementation, a concept I would have is especially to help those establishments that really specifically are bars that are targeting strictly to the drinker only, and not to create an environment here by this that is an unfair competition for bar restaurants that have close to 50% of their sales in liquor, that raising that percentage so that you really target the group that I think that you're interested in.
The mom and pa's
to increase that percentage to 70%, I might find that more attractive. And to reduce the time that you have here for implementation to around April 1st, 2008. And I think that gives adequate time. People certainly aren't uninformed about this discussion. It's been in front of everybody for a long time. But it does allow for some time for transition and adjusting to the new market, the non-smoker market. And then the Subdivision 4, I would hope that that would be deleted, as I really think that we should be in the business of setting a minimum standard, and that cities should be able to retain their authority. I can give you an example. For example, some cities may allow, in our bill, we're allowing smoking in motel rooms. There are some cities that have already preempted smoking in motel rooms. So there are situations that would create some differences that are not really necessary and are not being requested by those communities.
So you don't, you're saying that you don't, maybe some transition is agreeable with you. My suggestion would be about a year longer than yours, or at least 6-7 months longer. And the amendment I'm proposing is 50-50, and yours would be 70-30. So at least we have some movement here today, folks. So we should have an auction or something. How's it going? But I think you understand where the good senator's coming from, and then so I would like to somehow reach a compromise here today, and we are, again, I'll repeat, the business committee, and we do have to look out for our friends, somewhat look out for our friends in that business world, too. I mean, Senator Lantz.
Mr. Chairman, members, I share Senator Sharon's view on this. I, too, recognize some value in giving businesses an opportunity to adjust during a transition period to reflect the change in the regulatory environment. I think that would be entirely fair. I have the concern, and you mentioned the mom-and-pop restaurant on the corner that has a liquor license, but that is mostly a restaurant. That is competing quite clearly with a 51% alcohol sales establishment that's serving 49% food. You know, if the theory is that restaurants, because they sell more food, have a little easier time making the transition. Food and smoking doesn't quite go as hand-in-hand as alcohol and smoking does, then I think it makes sense to focus this on more of the pure bars, if they are more dependent on the alcohol for their income, then they have more time to get prepared. But when you start drawing lines, you know, the difference between a Perkins and 100% bar is quite distinct. But when you start going in between there, you know, the difference between a Fridays and another establishment right nearby that also has a full bar in it, but happens to have a few more percentage in alcohol sales, the difference is frankly, it's a legal fiction more than anything else. And they're all the different establishments along that gradation. So I would also prefer seeing the transition point here at 70%. And the implementation date, I think the theory behind Senator Sharon's picking April 1st was to give some implementation time during the warmer weather periods so that the establishments could prepared when the weather starts to turn colder again in the fall. But it would give, you know, look, another 7-8 months compared to the usual implementation date for a bill. But that said, I think the much more difficult part for me, and one that I cannot support, is the preemption language. And while I really appreciate the chairman's efforts to try to do this, you know, we've got two playing fields here that we're trying to deal with. One is a playing field between the different types of business establishments, which this, you know, the first part of this bill addresses, I think, more directly. But the second part is between jurisdictions. And while I recognize some value in having consistency across the state, you know, right now I think the number is something like 57% of the state's population is already covered by a smoking ban. Much of that, you know, even more broad than what is being proposed in this amendment. Especially with the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul proper covered. And they've had, if you're in Hennepin County, you've seen the rules change back and forth a couple of times. And another rule change, and then another rule change after that, is probably more disruptive to business than a consistent rule going forward. And the other part is I'm not aware of, and maybe someone else knows more about this than I do, but I'm not aware of any health-related regulation that has preempted local communities from enacting more healthy ordinances. The rest of the Clean Indoor Air Act does not do this. The application of the no-smoking requirements to the 70 or 80% of the other businesses that are already covered. 90%, I think, of white-collar workplaces are completely smoke-free. 11% of bars are smoke-free right now. So we'd be setting, I think, a pretty dangerous precedent if preemption were to go on here in terms of stopping local governments from trying to make their communities more healthy than the state thinks is necessary.
I think, Senator, you mentioned in there somewhere about consistency, and that's what I think Section 4 does there, is that it levels the playing field. Everybody knows where they're at. You don't have every local government in the state doing this and that. And again, I repeat, it's a drop dead at 2009, so the victory is a victory for the non-smoking community, and I agree with that. Any further discussion? it does. Senator Latz goes to the state and local government committee. They've asked for this, so I always like to do our work here, of course, but if this amendment passes out, you could go work on the folks over there, maybe on the preemptive stuff. But so, Senator.
I understand the process. Bonham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I have been approached by my cities to make sure that they do keep some local control with regard to this, and so I just want to make sure that you know that's where I'm coming from, that I've been personally requested on that one. And I appreciate, Mr. Chair, your trying to come up with a compromise, and I too would support the April 1st, 2008 seemed like a compromise that would be livable. Thank you.
Take out that first. Let's vote on the whole thing. You know what? I'm going to, I think I'll pursue the amendment and offer the A, what is it? 33 amendment. Okay, I'm not. I should move a little faster here, shouldn't I? Senator Neville, did you have a?
Mr. Chair, this is similar to the Senator Thomasoni amendment, which I voted against, mm-hmm. and the reason I voted against it was because it didn't have a preemption in it. This is exactly what I would support, except for the 2009 cutoff. I won't support it if it's only good for 2 years. That doesn't do much either.
The preemption is good forever.
Oh, the preemption is good forever?
Yeah,
but the exception goes away in 2 years. Is that correct?
Right. Mr. Chairman, correct. The bar and bingo hall exemption expires January 2nd, 2009. The local... They would then be subject to the provisions of the bill.
Right.
The local preemption would remain in effect. They wouldn't be subject to a more stringent local ordinance.
Well, Mr. Chair, when the time is right, I don't want to cut the bait off. I'd like to move to delete line 18.
That's the...
If there's any other discussion that wants to happen before that, that's fine.
Would you substitute another date, or how would you do that?
Just delete it.
Well, that'd be effective, whatever well, it, Senator Sheeran's bill.
It'd be effective right away, but it accepts out. It doesn't. Am I reading it right? If you delete the line 18, we're making an exception for establishments where that have 50% or more, but that will apply immediately, and it won't sunset.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Neville, that's correct. It would be permanent.
And it would be preemptive. So it would preempt local ordinances that were different than that. That, I think, is a fair compromise.
I'm missing the date and stuff. I'm not connecting on that. Talk to me about that date again. I'm still confused. If you take that out, it's effective immediately or when the bill...
Well, it'd be effective August 1st, I assume.
Okay, so you're not... You're not buying into it. Okay, I understand. You're not buying into the Metzen compromise or not my compromise.
Well, I'm buying
give these people a little chance, and even Senator Sheeran was willing to do something. And
well, Mr. Chair, I'm buying into the Senator Thomasoni. This is very similar to what he offered last week. I'm buying into his compromise with state preemption. So you added, you're basically taking... Senator Thomasoni's concept.
Senator Thomasoni.
He's your roommate, I thought.
He moved out to Hall a little bit.
It's time
bit.
You start. Of course, well, anyway, you didn't vote for my amendment.
I don't know if we need any further debate, but is it proper now? Can I move to delete line 18?
Yeah. Yes, you may. any further discussion on that? All those in favor,
Senator. Wait, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonham.
I just want to make sure that members are clear. I'm assuming everybody's clear, but so basically what we're voting on is similar to what we voted on last time that for a bar exemption with regard to this overall bill. So now we're back to looking at...
Not yet.
Two. With a preemption.
With a preemption.
No.
Mr. Chair?
That's what I want to understand.
You're effectively allowing the bars to keep going the way they are for
Mr. Chair, here's what I understand to be true. If you delete line 18, it's my understanding we'd be creating an exception for bars and restaurants that have 50% or more liquor sales, and it would preempt
forever,
and it would preempt local ordinances that are inconsistent with that.
Okay, you're effectively, I think I can say it, liberalizing the more liberal than forever.
The intent is to accept out bars that are 50% or more.
So, Mr. Chair, in essence, what I'm saying is that we're back to voting on what we did vote on in the last committee.
Not yet.
Almost, right, in terms of if we vote on Senator Neville's amendment.
Some of us don't like Senator Neville's amendment.
Well, it's the same reason I didn't like Senator Tomasoni's.
All right, we're going to vote on Neville's amendment to strike line 118. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does
division.
Not prevail. What?
Withdraw nothing.
Division.
All those in favor of the Neville motion, raise your hand.
Count. Eight. Opposed? I counted nine on the good guy's side. But okay, there be an eight.
Because Murphy
fails on a tie.
Fails on a tie.
Ayes and eight nays. The amendment does not prevail. Okay, on the Metzen motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lantz.
I would move to amend line 11 to change the number 50 to 70.
That's in order. Discussion on the amendment to change the 50 to 70. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Mr.
Discussion
Chairman.
On the amendment. Seeing none, all
Mr.
those
Chair,
in favor,
ask,
Senator.
Ask for a roll call on this amendment. Sorry.
What'd you say?
I'd like a roll call on this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Lantz.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to amend line 18 to change the date from January 2, 2009 to April 1, 2008.
The April 1, 2008?
Correct.
April Fool's.
Maybe I should make it April 2nd, given Senator Bonhoff just mentioned that's April Fool's Day. Maybe I should make it April 2nd.
April 2nd is the on the Lantz amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chairman.
You're done yet. Senator Lantz.
I move to divide the question at the between lines 18 and line 19. And ask for a roll call on each half of the question.
He's dividing it.
Whereabouts? Under 18?
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about dividing a preemptive from the rest of the. Okay, we're going to vote on.
Is that divisible?
Doesn't matter.
Chairman.
I know.
We're going to do a subdivision 5 first.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bach or Senator Tomasoni?
Is that divisible?
Yeah.
If the first one fails and the second one passes, how does that work?
It works.
It works, they tell me. But we're going to vote on the first one.
Two separate issues.
the bars in the Bingo Hall subdivision 5 first. So.
Did you want a roll call on that?
Yes.
Okay, that.
Secretary will take the roll on subdivision 5, which. Mr. Stocking, Senator Rosen?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, could you please explain exactly what we're voting on?
Thank you.
Well, the whole amendment is one that I'm throwing forward to try to make some kind of a compromise, give the bar owner some transition time, get it down to that 50%. And, of course, there is a, I'm going to say it again, there's a drop-dead date of January 2nd, 2009. There's no smoking after that. And the top part would be a very important part of the amendment that I'm offering, the date, the 50%. And then the subdivision 4 is a local preempted part. And I'd like to see the first part pass and the second part not pass. So we're voting on the first part.
We want the whole thing to pass.
Huh?
You want them both to pass.
Oh, yeah, I want the whole thing to pass. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Was it Monday after? Yeah, Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if you might consider voting on them in a different order, and the reason I ask that is because if the local governments have the option, then I'm okay with extending the time frame, because then if the local government doesn't want to do that, then they – But if we, I don't know, because I don't know about the second option, and so I hate to allow it to be longer if I'm then going to take away my city's rights. So that's my rationale. I, of course, understand if it doesn't go that way. That would be my request.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Let me make an argument for preemption, because we've been hearing this level playing field stuff all along here, and we have a checkerboard of laws across the state right now for our smoking bans in different counties and different cities, and what we're trying to do is make it uniform. And by putting preemption in, it means that the whole state is subject to the same law instead of all kinds of different laws. Now, that doesn't mean that the current bar owners have to change the way they're doing things in the laws where they've been where the smoking ban has been enacted. For example, in St. Paul, if the people in St. Paul want to continue to have no smoking with preemption, they can continue to have no smoking. It would be up to the owner, which is a novel idea in my mind. I passed out a couple of articles that came from Wisconsin, which give you an idea of what could happen here, because it looks like their legislature is going in the direction of having exemptions for bars. And so then we have a border city problem again if that happens, and we say that we're not going to have anything. I passed out a thing from a person who's a waiter who says don't tell them what to do, that they're smart enough, they're adults, and they can make their own decisions. Read some of these things because they make a lot of sense. Preemption is something that we should be doing, and I probably should have offered it in my amendment the first time. But the date doesn't make any sense, Mr. Chairman, because we should either do it or we shouldn't do it, one or the other. So you should have actually voted to take the date out on the last one.
You want this effective pretty soon, then?
No, I want it to be effective forever.
Like, you're probably not going to win on that.
So, like, if you would change your vote, we could take that out and then pass your amendment.
Okay, we're going to vote on the subdivision 5 first.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lance. Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if the author of the bill would state any preferences on the two questions now before us.
I like the I think I like the whole amendment, both parts of it, because of the
Mr. Chair, I have a sense I know what you think.
Oh, who are you asking?
I wonder if the author of the
bill. I was speaking for her. The author, right? Oh, the author of the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, I understood you to be the author of the amendment.
I'm very interested in your opinion, too, though, Mr. Chair.
Senator Sharon.
My position is that the amendment that would have passed at 70% would have really protected the restaurants and that are also have a bar business, and that this is a little tight and creates a difficult situation for a couple years. My preference would be to see that percentage rate raised. I am open, as I said earlier, to understanding the need for transition for businesses, especially those that are strictly related to the liquor sales, but I think the time is lengthy. And the second, and I've already said that I do not support preempting local governments from exercising their authority.
The time will come. Is there a roll call?
Yeah.
Secretary will take the roll on the Subdivision 5.
Metzen?
Yes.
Bach?
No.
Bonoff?
Yes.
Carlson?
Yes.
Day? Gerlach?
Yes.
Gimsey?
No.
Koch?
No.
Latz?
No.
Michelle?
No.
Murphy? Neville?
No.
Rosen?
No.
Saltzman?
No.
Scheid?
No.
Skoy?
No.
Sparks?
No.
Tomasoni?
No.
Day? Murphy?
Okay, there being 12 no's and 4 yeses, the amendment does not pass.
Is there any need to do the other one now? Probably not.
Intellectually, this is.
I think we might as well withdraw the second part of the amendment. All right. Now we're going to get flooded with a few
Mr. Chairman,
amendments that might.
In that case, I'll offer the A30 amendment, which is very similar to what we just did here that you voted for the last time we were in here. It just has the preemption that you would like.
Okay, Senator Tomasoni, you can describe the A30.
Mr. Chairman, this is very similar to the amendment you just offered. It has preemption and it has a 50-50. And like I said earlier, bar owners should be able to make a decision, but this also takes away the patchwork and the checkerboard that's all across the state and says that all the laws will be uniform and everybody will have to adhere to the same law. That makes all the sense in the world if we're trying to pass a statewide ban. And since Wisconsin is strongly moving toward exempting bars, this would put us on the same playing field as Wisconsin also. So it would put all the bar owners in Minnesota on the same playing field as well as what's going to happen in Wisconsin. And when you see something like the letter that I handed out, and it's coincidentally from a Dale Fuller, so I don't think it's any relative of John Fuller, but it says, I'm writing to you today as an adult and citizen of Minnesota. We are begging you to vote no on this smoking ban. I do not smoke, but this is a blatant insult to bar workers across the state. We are adults and can choose where we work and under what conditions. This is not a job for government. We are being treated like children. There are no children that enter or work in these establishments. It is your job as senators to protect our freedoms and choices, not limit them. The smoking ban crosses the line when it comes to invading our private lives. We are bar workers and bar patrons and don't want this ban. And it goes on. But, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a good compromise. This allows the establishments that have decided that no smoking is a good idea to stay with no smoking, and it allows the establishment that have smoking to figure out a way to keep smoking and to gives people choices to go in or out of these places as they wish, and I think this makes a lot of sense.
I've been told there's a technical amendment that
Mr. Fuller. Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, on page 1.15, line 1.15, delete a bar and insert an establishment.
I'll incorporate
that in his. Okay, this is no, obviously, any date on the at the end of the game, right? It's just, okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Tomasoni, in the previous amendment, it said can enforce more stringent measures. And in your amendment, it just says enforce a measure that prohibits. So I'm assuming that it's going to be a more stringent measure. So it's a little vague, is what I'm saying.
For it if I put is there a difference, Mr. Fuller?
Senator Attorney Fuller. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, there are two different amendments. Senator Rosen is right. The two languages in the two bills are different. And if they wanted to make them parallel, then they would pick up the language from the 833 amendment on line 21. And that says after enforce more stringent measures to protect individuals from secondhand smoke than are contained. So what this amendment does just says you can't prohibit smoking in a bar, the one before you. They could do something else short of prohibiting it, would be my interpretation of this. Whereas in the other amendment, it's a more broad exemption. And again, this exemption in the 830 only applies to these establishments that we're exempting, whereas in the other amendment, it was an across-the-board exemption of local ordinances. So you may want to consider that, Senator Tomasoni.
How would I do that, Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, on line 15 of the A30 amendment, you would, after enforce, you would insert more, you would delete a measure that prohibits smoking, and you would insert more stringent measures to protect individuals from secondhand smoke than are contained in sections 144.411 to 144.417 in an establishment subject to.
I'll incorporate that, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gerlach, did you have a.
Chairman, to that point, I was hoping to say before Senator Tomasoni says he incorporates that. Because I, when you introduced your original amendment, I take issue with something. I think it's just not straight objective. It just doesn't say more stringent measures. The additional language of to protect individuals from secondhand smoke is, it's not just objective on its face value. And I would encourage Senator Tomasoni just to insert the words more stringent and leave it at that and leave out the extraneous language.
Mr. Chairman, I see Senator Gerlach's point. What is the difference between those section references? I see.
Lord, do you have
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni. That's hard to say definitively. As the bills now stand, it's clear in the A30 that a local, if it passed, that a local unit of government could not prohibit smoking in the bars or the establishments that were exempted. if we pick up the language from A33, which you just incorporate, the local units of government are stopped from doing more than that. In fact, anything more than what's in that bill. So what Senator Gerlach is saying is that if you just say more stringent measures that prohibit smoking, it's a lawyer's argument. I assume every time somebody smokes, there's a it's whether the universe of smoking and secondhand smoke is the same. And I assume there are you can conceive of something that would protect against the dangers of secondhand smoke that are more than what would be involved with prohibiting smoking. So I would assume that.
Take the words from there.
I'm guessing that the language that we incorporated is broader than what Senator Gerlach suggests, but it's not clear to me on an instant analysis because prohibiting against the dangers of secondhand smoke seems to be a broader universe than prohibiting smoking, just off the top of my head. But anybody can conceive of an argument. It's just not clear to me which is more, would do more to stop a local unit of government from enacting local ordinances with respect to this issue.
Senator Neville, did you have a...
Yeah, on that point, Mr. Chair, I think, Senator Tomasoni, the language that you have now would allow local governments to require things like ventilation. They can't prohibit the smoking, but they could regulate other things while they allow the smoking. I don't know if this is what Senator Gerlach is trying to get at. If you take the language that was in the A33, they may not enact or enforce more stringent measures, then there's nothing in the bill that requires ventilation. So that might be an example.
Which one do you prefer?
That's your call.
Well, which one will you vote for?
Explain it properly.
Go with the language you incorporated.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Gerlach.
Senator Tomasoni, maybe after hearing the comments, maybe you should just go with the language that was in the previous divided amendment. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense
what
to
I,
me.
That's what I incorporated, right, Mr. Fuller? Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Senator Sharon, Senator Scoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, members, as we sit here and debate this preemption, and I must be the only formerly elected official around here because, you know, as a county commissioners and city councilmen, it appears to me that perhaps they know their jurisdictions and we might not be wanting to muck around in their business quite as much as we are with some of this preemption stuff.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville.
We've probably all faced this. I had a mayor come up to me once and say, why don't you pass that statewide smoking ban? So I looked at him and said, why don't you? Mm-hmm. And his answer was, are you kidding? They'd kill me.
See, there's the reason.
So I mean, you know, there is a place for state preemption because there are some things that the local governments need some help on.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Tomasoni, just out of curiosity, where does the 50% of the total net sales, I mean, is this coming from what other states are doing, or is it just arbitrary, 50%? I'm a little confused. I'm not sure if we had discussion about why 50% and what that means exactly to a bar, a restaurant.
I think it means, Mr. Chairman, that if you're getting most of your sales or at least half of your sales off of liquor, that you probably have got a bar and you've probably got a restaurant, and that you want to be able to allow smoking if your patrons so desire and if the owners so desire, and that the 50% number I think indicates that there's a substantial amount of revenue that comes from it, and that if you go to a bigger number like 70% was suggested earlier, you are looking at probably something that is way different than 50%. I think it's an indication of what kind of business is in the bar.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Senator Tomasoni, would you Would you entertain a higher number?
Hi.
Would you entertain 65%?
About 60.
I told you it'd be an auction.
Will you vote for it if I do?
I, Mr. Chair and Senator Tomasoni, I'm just wondering why 50%. What does that exactly mean? I think Mr. Chair's amendment was something that was fair. And as the author of the bill said, that 70% perhaps she could entertain. And I'm just wondering if the author of the bill could entertain something a little bit lower than 70%, and you could entertain something a little bit higher than 50%.
60 is right in the middle.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have a discussion with or hear this, the Senate author's approval on that or discussion on that.
Thank you, Chairman Metzen and Senator Rosen. The issue for me in this amendment, certainly the 50% is too low a percentage rate because it brings it too close to other establishments that have similar business and they would be prohibited from exposure to secondhand smoke. So on that merit, this is too low a number. But there's a significant change in this amendment from the earlier one that Chairman Metzen offered, and that is that it preempts bars. Bars are not included in the regulation of secondhand smoke. So on that ground alone, I would encourage the committee to not support this as they did the last time, because the workers who are in need of protection work in bars as much as they do in other businesses. Even OSHA in 1993 supported the ban on smoking in federal buildings. So I just don't think that a committee wants to say that people who work in federal buildings are in need of protection, but people who work in other establishments are not. And SEIU has come in and clearly indicated they really represent service workers, people who work in service of other people in support of a statewide ban without regard to where it is located, whether it's a VFW or whether or not it's a private club or a bar or a restaurant. No matter where a person is engaged in interacting with someone else who's smoking, they are impaired by that secondhand smoke. So this amendment really violates the essential principle of the Freedom to Breathe Act that we're pursuing.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rosen, the 50-50, I'm told, is similar language to the Ramsey County smoking ban, so apparently that's working there. And I just got some information that South Dakota smoking ban exempts any and all establishments with a liquor license, no matter what the percentage of sale. And North Dakota just recently said no to any kind of ban. Wisconsin is talking about exempting bars. We would be an island amongst ourselves. The border arguments would get bigger and bigger. In fact, North Dakota, when we passed the 75-cent a pack cigarette tax, North Dakota realized a $9 million windfall just because of the fact that people were going across the border to buy their cigarettes. And in fact, their convenience stores couldn't keep the cigarettes in stock. So I think we have to at least be consistent with the states around us, and that's what this amendment does.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville.
Another reason that the 50% is probably acceptable is that local governments, I think, still approve liquor licenses. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, once upon a time, the town I live in wouldn't give a liquor license to anybody unless they had 51% food. There's still local control. So even if we were to adopt this amendment, if a city said, you got to have 51% food or you won't even get a liquor license at all, then this amendment wouldn't mean too much. So we can be quibbling here about 50 or 60 or 70. Frankly, it doesn't matter, I don't think. If a local government is intent on exercising that local control, they can do it through the liquor license, too. Can't they? Maybe not. I don't know if they can, if existing licenses are grandfathered or not. But and I'm not even sure if Northfield still has that requirement. Once upon a time, I think they did. Does anybody know? I mean, can cities put conditions on liquor license? Does anybody know?
You know?
Well, Mr. Chairman, is he asking me?
Yeah, he's asking
I'm not familiar with the liquor license.
Okay.
All right. We're on to Thomasoni. We got eight more amendments here. On the Thomasoni amendment, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Any further amendments?
Division.
Yes, for division. All those in favor of Thomasoni's amendment, raise your hands. Nine in favor.
Nine opposed.
There being seven ayes and nine nays, the amendment does not prevail. Any further amendments?
All right. I got an 834 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I was too slow, wasn't I, there?
Got it after this one.
Senator Thomasoni, you can report, explain the 834 amendment.
No, Mr. Chairman, since we've heard so much about the workers in in bars and people's rights, I thought that it might be appropriate to offer an amendment that says that the owner and the employees should make a decision as to whether or not smoking should be allowed, and that smoking areas should be posted, and that if there is a smoking area in a bar, that it should have a solid wall between the smoking areas. And it seems to me that this would get us to the point where we have people who are working in places who agree to work there. Owners can make decisions on what they have in their places, and that we actually wall off the smoking area from the non-smoking area, and we get to the point where I think people could probably agree on what the inside of an establishment should look like and who should be in there and who should be working in there. So I'll offer the 834.
Discussion on the Thomasoni amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scoy. Senator Letts.
Chairman, I'm seeing lines 11 to 13, our preemption language again. Is that what I'm reading, Senator Thomasoni?
Yes, that's the preemption language again.
On the Thomasoni amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Senator. Chairman, let's try the 836 then.
Senator Thomasoni on the 836 amendment. This is the HV Havoc.
Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment which allows smoking if people install HVAC systems, and gives them time, gives bar owners and restaurant owners a time certain in order to get these HVAC systems in. If you have 40% gross sales in alcohol, you can get them in by June 1st of 2009, 50% by June 1st of 2010, et cetera. And it just says that we're going to clean the air up in these places with HVAC systems, and we're actually going to test to make sure that the places are being cleaned up. And it seems to me that this one, if the other ones weren't good compromises, then this one is a very good compromise.
On the amendment, Senator Letts.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomasoni, this also includes the preemption language, is that right?
This also has a preemption language, Mr. Chairman.
Perfect.
Senator Scoy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Tomasoni, I really think that you're heading in the right direction with those ventilation strategies. I think it works, and I think we could allow businesses to clean up the air in their facility if they're doing it well. I think they could remove the smoke from the room. I'm, again, not happy with your preemption language, but I really think with regard to the ventilation, this is an option. I don't know if some of these smaller facilities would be able to afford it, but at least it should be an option to them if they could.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosa.
Senator Tomasoni, who would be in charge of enforcing this and making sure that these dates are met?
Senator Tomasoni.
Let's see.
Chair Metzen, you're thinking of your answer to that, I have not received a copy of this amendment. Would you please?
That the author of the bill should receive.
Help me out with that one. We have in there who is this? Do the
you have to hire support people here?
Statutory references say who's going to enforce this?
Mr. Fuller, is it the locals or?
Mr. Chairman, it's silent as that, and therefore I assume it would be the Department of Health.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, wouldn't there be a fiscal note on this then?
Fiscal. There could be a fiscal note.
If there's not a fiscal note on this smoking ban bill, there's not a fiscal note on this.
Mr. Chair, doesn't it take full-time
Rosen.
Employees to do something like this? Wouldn't there be a fiscal note?
Probably.
Mr.
Further
Chairman.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Letts.
Maybe full-time employees plus a lot of air testing equipment to be able to determine whether there are 10 micrograms of nicotine per cubic foot of air. I don't see anything in here with regard to.
But they just buy a bunch of those gerbil machines like the other day. I don't mean to make.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that in St. Louis Park they were doing this testing and that they were able to determine these figures, which is what I'm modeling this after. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Letts,
given the St. Louis Park question, I've got some information to provide for the committee from the City of St. Louis Park, first of all, they charged, I think it was a $700 per establishment fee to enable the purchase and enforcement, purchase of equipment and the enforcement of their ordinance. And they were not warranting that there was any safe level either. But this will give you some information about the St. Louis Park program. It requires some information to be posted to warn people and provided signs for the places that went smoke-free. In fact, a lot of them did. But the city was not giving any information with regard to the proposed effectiveness or the health effects relating to any of the ventilation stuff. And what's important to note is that, number one, that program is over, as you can see, because of Hennepin County's, what was then Hennepin County's ordinance that took effect.
Yes, you can talk.
But they also note quite clearly that a few thousand different particulate and gaseous compounds involved, filter effectiveness on these various compounds depends on the technologies involved and best left for an environmental engineer to comment on. So you've got a gerbil cage that can take visible fog out of it, doesn't say anything about what happens to the gaseous compounds in the air, let alone the particles that are too small to be visible. So this is not really a substitute, even from a health standpoint. Certainly can't rely on St. Louis Park's experience to to say that it's something that ought to be done.
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I agree with Senator Scoy that Senator Tomasoni is definitely headed in the right direction with this amendment. You know, I worked in a as a pipeline welder for 18 years for a natural gas company, and on winter days like today, I'd spend my time in a welding shop that was no bigger than the area of these tables with a 14-foot ceiling, and I saw that that smoke eaters, if you will, smoke filters can take it out, and they do. You know, there were many times when I forget to flip the switch on, be welding away, and flip up the hood, and, you know, the room would be full of smoke. Go over and flip on the switch, and 5 minutes later, it'd be just as clear as it is in this room. The engineering and design behind ventilation systems today is much higher than it ever was. I worked in the days when they were archaic, and also in the days when they came a long ways to filtering out the smoke and the impurities in the air, including grinding and everything else. So we are headed in the right direction, I believe, with this amendment, and I do support it.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things. First of all, I'd like to request a roll call vote on this amendment. And secondly, I think there's a gentleman in the audience that has some information about the St. Louis Park issue that Senator Latz just brought up. I thought maybe it'd be good for the record if you would call him up to the table.
You know, I don't think we're going to start doing that today. We've had 3-4 hours on this stuff, and if we open it up, then we're going to get the door wide open and keep going. Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much, Chairman Metzen. Assumed in this, of course, is that ventilation is a solution to the problem. I have a number of concerns about this amendment, but I would like to, in terms of the first concept about whether or not this is going in the correct direction, remind the committee that in the Surgeon General's report, where research studies related to ventilation as well as the dangers of secondhand smoke were reviewed by 40 scientists, and then another group of 40 scientists, and then another group of 30 scientists, looking at all sorts of research, have written clearly that neither central heating, ventilation, or air conditioning systems, nor separately ventilated rooms control exposures to secondhand smoke. And furthermore, I have, if you would like to see, companies that agree ventilation systems do not eliminate health risks caused by secondhand smoke. And I'm not going to read all of them to you, but one, for example, United Air Specialists, no air filtration or purification system has been designed that can eliminate all indoor irritants and pollution associated with secondhand smoke. And in addition, there's no proven safe levels of secondhand tobacco smoke. Because of this, this particular specialist cannot support filtration systems. There are others, Allergy Control Products, Allergy Buyer Club Incorporated, Brookstone, Espetic Air Products, Honeywell, IQ Air North America, Peak Pure Air, Philip Morris USA, all of these companies who are engaged in the process of preparing filtration systems are saying to us that they cannot use or guarantee that these filtration systems of any sort can protect people from the hazards of secondhand smoke. So that's my first issue, that in your effort to try to find a solution, that you don't run towards one that has not demonstrated to resolve the issue of the health hazard. The second issue in this amendment I think you should look closely at is the delayed implementation process that creates a significant difference between businesses and their capacity to compete with one another. Again, there's the language related to preemption, which I think is not in the best interest of the state to try to try to pull away from local governments their authority. In my community, Mankato has already passed a referendum that supports strong across-the-board smoking ban. And no level of risk. When you're talking about using ventilation, even if you can move somewhere past the science to believe that it's helpful in some way, if you can somehow talk yourself into thinking that it's a good idea, there's no way of us really knowing with that ventilation system if it is, in fact, reducing the level of risk to a level that protects the public's health.
Senator Scoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm a little surprised at all this companies or organizations that say you cannot ventilate. I mean, as a you know, is a matter. You know that you can if you turn the air over enough. You know that they're providing filters and ventilations in labs that are doing research on bacteria that are providing filtration. So while it might be very costly to do, I just can't believe that it's not possible. And that was my comment. I think that it might be more expensive than some of these facilities can afford, but at least it would give them an opportunity. And, you know, I mean, if you just turn over the, you know, the cubic feet of air that they have every, you know, minute, it might be kind of windy in there, but you know that you're going to get the air out of there.
On Senator Carlson.
I have a background in mechanical engineering. I have a license, and I need to be sure that I give full disclosure that I'm not licensed in HVAC, because other people are licensed in that. But I do know that there are standards of design for buildings, and the circulation standards are set by ASHRAE. That's the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers. And ASHRAE has a lot of standards that you have to pore through when you decide on the design for a building. And I think what we're talking about here is a very complex engineering problem, to design a system to get rid of several different kinds of contaminants in the air. And generally, contaminants might be, as Senator Gimsey said, when you weld, you're actually vaporizing metal, and that vapor you can inhale. When you have a cigarette, you're making gases that might be, for instance, carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide, we don't have a means to filter that out yet. But you also produce particulates, and that's the smoke you see. When you can see something, that's generally smoke. There are visible gases, but generally it's the particulates that you can see in the air. Somebody go away here. But one of the things I wanted to explain is that if you take a room like this and you're going to change this into a bar, we have 150 seats in here, and we have roughly 30,000 cubic feet of space. And if you're going to ventilate this to a standard, you have to have about 30 cubic feet per minute per occupant, which is about 270,000 cubic feet per hour, which is a lot. And when we were talking about a tornado, that's a lot. And that's what ASHRAE does specify if you have a room this size. Now, there are other methods of looking at it. You can look at the number of air changes. Now, look at the size of this room, and the air changes would be larger because we have a 15-foot ceiling. If you bring the ceiling down, the amount of air that it takes to change the air in here is much lower. But roughly, if you would look at the number of air changes that would be for 150 people in here, that would be about 9 air changes per hour, which is pretty significant. So it takes a lot of air changes per hour. And if you look at the cost of that, you're talking, and now we're getting down to what Senator Skoy said, is that with places where you have to filter out contaminants and poisons, you bring all fresh air in. So if you bring all fresh air in a day when you need air conditioning, you have to dehumidify it, you have to air condition it, bring it in cool, that costs a lot of money. If you're doing it in the wintertime, you may have to humidify, you certainly have to heat to bring it in, and that costs a lot of money. So what happens is that every time you add a ventilation requirement and you put in the use of the building that has more of a load on it, like smokers, it brings up the cost to maintain that room. Now, you can filter out certain gases, but those gases, and I do have a little bit of background in filtration in my past job, where you filter out those kinds of gases with activated carbon. The carbon has to be specific to the gas, you know, da-da-da-da. It gets very, very complicated. And that requires a lot of maintenance and a lot of expense. So there's a lot of expense here that you would have to put in place to protect the health of the people that are in that particular space, if indeed our reason for doing this is to protect health. Mr. Chair.
Very good. Senator Saltzman.
That's just a clarification, if I might, Mr. Chair. What is the reasoning, Senator Tomassoni, about perhaps delaying the filtration system for those establishments that probably have the most smoke in them? Because I see you phasing this in, and I look at bars that probably are serving more food than alcohol, and we're asking them to install these filtration systems first. So some of the areas that have the greatest amount of smoke are being allowed 7 years, whereas those establishments that probably have a lower level are being asked to install fairly expensive ventilation systems within a year and a half.
Senator Tavassoni.
Unless I'm reading this wrong.
Chairman, Senator Saltzman, that's a good question, but I think it has something to do with the cost of the system. I would assume if you have more smoke, you need a better system. And maybe they can save up for it.
Further discussion on Tomassoni amendment. I think a roll call. Senator Gerlach has asked for a roll call.
Mattson?
No.
Bach?
Yes.
Bonoff?
No.
Carlson?
No.
Day? Gerlach?
Yes.
Gimsey?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Latz?
No.
Michelle?
No.
Murphy? Neville?
Yes.
Rosen? Saltzman?
No.
Scheid?
Yes.
Skoy?
Yes.
Sparks?
Yes.
Tomassoni?
Yes.
Day? Murphy? Rosen?
No.
There being 9 ayes and 7 nays, the amendment is adopted. Senator Carlson. Senator Gimsey.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to propose or submit Amendment A35 consideration.
You can start explaining it even before it's passed out, Senator Gimsey.
This is quite a simple amendment to the Minnesota statutes that would allow an income tax deduction for the cost of to the businesses for implementing the air exchange systems. It wouldn't be a tax credit. It would be a tax deduction. In other words, it would be deducted from a regular business income.
Do you have an estimated cost at all?
No, I don't, Mr. Chairman.
That's a small.
I figure we can let the tax committee probably do that.
Oh, I'm sure that this is a tax committee issue. Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't these be the kind of expenses that would ordinarily be deductible for a business?
This doesn't make any sense.
Senator Gimsey, did you hear the question from Senator Scheid?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman.
You want to make sure?
She does speak softly, but I do believe I heard her.
Okay. But,
you know, possibly that is the case, but I just wanted to make sure that our business owners that would need to comply with this new law that we're creating would have every opportunity to deduct that from their income tax.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Buck.
Senator Scheid's point, these are probably capital expenditures on the building, so I suspect they'd probably be subject to some kind of a depreciation schedule, would be my guess. So there actually would be a fiscal note on this to the state.
Senator Gimsey?
I do believe that there probably under federal law would be a Section 179 exemption for this type of thing for their businesses. But so that on the federal level, they could probably get the deduction. But again, I think that's a good point that Senator Tomasoni makes. It would probably be capitalized out and depreciated. This would give them the opportunity to receive that money up front right away.
All right. On the Gimsey Amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Oh.
Motion prevails.
Division?
We want to make sure that this bill goes to every committee in the Minnesota Senate.
Mr. Chairman?
Happy to
Division,
do it.
Please.
Division. All those in favor, raise your hand. I'll give you a vote there, Gimsey.
He doesn't.
All right, opposed? I think we know there, don't we? Yeah. I think it's a 9 to what? The amendment does not prevail. Further amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
It's going to turn out like my amendment earlier where it might have been pretty good, but just remember where you heard it. But all right.
Chairman,
remember where you heard it.
Wish to reoffer your amendment, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman.
At least it had his date in it. Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, and I've been toying with deleting the purpose section.
Do we have a purpose?
I'm not real fond of purpose sections in any case, but it seems we've taught the original. I assume this goes back to the Clean Indoor Air Act from the early 70s, that this language, and it was to protect the public health, comfort, environment by prohibiting smoking. Now we're talking, the purpose just really speaks only to secondhand smoke, and it seems to be counterintuitive. I assume we also, you don't want people to smoke in the first instance, the firsthand smoke. And so I don't think it does any damage to take this out. I don't, I just having seen a bill in the Judiciary Committee where the Supreme Court took the purpose statement literally and refused to imply any other possible purpose, I think that you may endanger aspects of this. And so, although given public, the sentiment, I guess, popular sentiment, maybe that wouldn't come to that result. But I'd like to delete the public policy statement. And I'm a little put off by calling it the Freedom to Breathe Act as well, but I... that's fine, I guess, to leave. But I'd like to move to delete Section 1 on page 1. And I think that's...
We want to essentially repeal Section 1.
Mr. Chairman, just delete it, yeah.
Delete it.
And I guess what would happen is that you'd go back to current law, right?
Stricken language be reinstated.
This doesn't...
To allowing designated smoking.
Senator Sharon?
Yeah, my concern would be that if you delete the language, we would go back to designated smoking areas.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I acknowledge, I probably should have rewritten it. I'm not fond of purpose statements in any case, but I think you're narrowing the scope of the language, maybe without intending to do that. But that's, I'll withdraw the amendment because I can see the issue it would cause with your bill, but I don't think it's an attribute, a positive attribute of the bill.
All right. Any further amendments or discussion on the bill? Senator Bach, and then Senator Gerlach.
Mr. Chairman, page 1, line point 1. Line 14 on page 1. I'm wondering about the word no one. Employees,
and the general public from the hazards of. So if a hazard is not known, do we not?
That's right.
I'm not sure we need the word known in there. I think we get the same effect without the word known.
On line 113?
114.
Oh.
No, it's 113.
113, I think, is. No, but that's all right. But
well, it's 114 on the version I'm looking at. Is there an engrossment?
Well, it doesn't. Well,
it's just.
Is it on 113 on the person engrossment?
Yeah, I. We know what it is, but it's just a matter of what do you think about that, Senator Scheer? I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, if it's on the first engrossment on line 113, I'd move an oral amendment to delete the word known and continue the sentence.
Okay, discussion on the, we'll accept that oral amendment. It's one word, so. Sharon, did you have a?
No, I had an opinion. Nothing to say.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to follow up on what Senator Scheid said. She also had mentioned about the name of the Freedom to Breathe Act. I asked Mr. Fuller this a little bit ago. The engrossment I have is the, it must be the first, I don't know if I have the right thing, but my question is, does Section 11 currently exist in the bill? There was some question about that. Lines... on page 6, lines 22 and 23. Mr. Chairman, does that...
Told Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chairman, that was... those lines were deleted in the first committee.
I'm sorry, I can't...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Senator Gerlach, that section was deleted at the first committee hearing. In the not this committee, the health committee.
Okay.
All right. Further discussion on the bill. So who's going to... Somebody wants to...
Mr.
Senator
Chairman,
Bach?
I noticed that in the title, the word... even though we took it out in Section 1, it's still in the title, so I'd need to take the word known out of the title.
Okay, that's informing of what you just did, I think. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Somebody want to move the bill as amended, and it goes to the state and local government committee first, and then Senator Bach will move the...
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the first engrossment of Senate file number 238 be recommended to pass and sent to the local government.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you.
Division. Division.
Division.
I'm not going to say you're too late, but... somebody serious about that?
Yep.
Let's call it.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? The motion does prevail.
Yeah.